So God says, do not kill. Do not kill. If a person just gets mad and says, I'm going to go shoot them, I'm going to plan this out, I'm going to go kill this person, God says, once again, you should not do that. He's saying, do not murder. And let me say this as a side note, the word murder that's used here in this commandment, it's not the same word that's used for murder in other places in the Old Testament when it related to military or killing someone because you're in war. That's a different deal. So, you know, I mean, if you're in the military, there will be times you may have to kill somebody. So that's a different type of murder. So God, once again, he's talking about the unlawful or the immoral killing of someone, the killing of someone through careless or negligent behavior. God says man is made in his own image. So really, when a person murders someone, they're really it's a very offense against God himself, because God made us. We are made in his image. We're made in his image. Listen to this. God takes murder so seriously. Listen to what he says in Genesis 9:6. You can write that down and read it later. Genesis 9:6. God says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. God says, in other words, if you murder someone, you are at God's mercy. And because you took somebody's life, your life very well could be taken as well. Now, I know that's not a popular message. Some people are not even for capital punishment. But let me say, just stick with me. Let me just say what the word of God says. Since once again, God created our lives. God created the world. God created everything. So we have to go by his mandates, not what we believe, but by what God believes. Let me say that again. We have to go by what God believes, not what we believe, but what God believes. Are y'all with me this morning? So listen to what God says again about murder in Exodus 21:12. God says, whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. Repeat that. God says, whoever strikes a man, basically kills a man, God says that person who killed him, who murdered him, he himself shall be put to death. In Numbers chapter 35, write these down, read them later. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 30, the first part of verse 30 and also verse 31, God says this. God says, if anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witnesses. And then he goes on and said, now the evidence of just one witness, that's not enough. But the evidence of witnesses, in other words, God is saying when it comes to capital punishment, when it comes to people having to go to the electric chair or the gas chamber, God is saying administer that carefully and correctly. But God is saying, once again, in this verse, he said, there's a murderer. He shall be put to death on the evidence of many witnesses. Moreover, he says, you shall not accept a bribe or a ransom for the life of a murderer. In other words, a murderer, you know how it is today, unfortunately. Our court system is not as right as it should be. It's corrupt at times. So God is saying, just because somebody murders someone and they come with a ransom, trying to pay off the judge, trying to pay off the jury, God said, no, that shouldn't be done. A person who murders, they are guilty of death, and he shall be put to death. So God takes the murder of a human being very, very seriously. As in the Old Testament, that was to deter future crime. If somebody murdered someone and then they took that person and they actually took them out, stoned them or killed them, the next person would probably think a little more seriously before he went and murdered someone. He said, if I take somebody's life, they're going to come and get me and take my life. Once again, God said, if you murder someone, he said that you yourself, your life should be taken. Now, again, let me just say this parenthetically, that we realize, I know in our court system today, oftentimes that's not really administered the way it should be. I know a lot of times when a person is accused of murder, if they're guilty or not guilty, a lot of times they don't have proper representation, especially people who don't have the funds. And a lot of times, if you just check the stats, people who don't have the funds, they're some of the main ones on death row. But just because, unfortunately, man's system is somewhat corrupt at times, still God's mandate is still the same. And guess what? God is the ultimate judge. So if a judge or a jury or a lawyer falsely takes someone and puts them on death row, guess what? That judge or that juror or that lawyer, guess what? They're going to have to stand before the true judge and give an account of that. God says capital punishment is biblical, but he said do it correctly, do it justly, do it right. But it is biblical. So thou shalt not murder. Don't murder with your hand. Don't go kill someone else. And there's another way, a sub point under this point about thou shalt not murder. Don't murder with your hand. I'm going to tread kind of lightly here. I know this is a very delicate subject, but abortion is another way that you can murder. Abortion comes under the category of murder. It's no way around it. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is a sin. Abortion is murder. The latest stat I read, some 300 abortions happen daily. And I don't know if that was the U.S. or the world, but either way, it's a terrible stat. Over 300 abortions happen daily. And the mother, as well as the father, is guilty of murder. In a crowd this size, I know some of us, if not all of us, have been impacted by this sin called abortion. Either personally, or perhaps a close friend of yours, a family member, a neighbor, but pretty much all of us probably have been impacted one way or another by this murder, this sin called abortion. But let me give you a word of encouragement, a word of hope this morning. There is forgiveness for that sin. That's not the unforgivable sin. So if you have committed that, or if that's you this morning, you can confess it. You can repent of it. And our Heavenly Father, He can and He will forgive you for it. And then the other part of that is you need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Now, I know there are going to be some lasting wounds in this area called abortion. But our God, His grace and His mercy, His grace and mercy will see you through. It will see you through. The brother who came a couple of months ago, we had the brother that came in with the Choose Life Ministries. I think he did a great job from the Bible kind of talking about how abortion is wrong. It's a sin, but how there is hope in that area. So he did a great job. I'll probably have him to come back next year or at least the year after that. So don't murder with your hand. Don't go kill someone. And abortion is another way you can do that. Third way, and there are other ways, but third way is suicide. Suicide. That's another way you can commit murder. Suicide. People often ask the question, can a Christian, you know, if they commit suicide? I know growing up, I always heard that if a person committed suicide, they were going to go to hell. Let me just say this from the Bible. If a person commits suicide and they're saved, they're born again, they are a Christian, they don't lose their salvation. They still go to heaven. And parenthetically, I mean, people who get depressed, who really get down, that happens to Christians too. And people often say, well, just snap out of it. You'll be okay. No, sometimes, you know, if you get clinically depressed, you probably need to take some medicine. You probably need to go see a doctor. But if a Christian commits suicide, they still go to heaven. Some people say something like, well, they went without, you know, confessing that sin of murder. Let's be honest. If all of us died today, there are probably still some unconfessed sin we all got in our life. Some stuff we did this morning or yesterday or something, you know, so that won't stop you from going to heaven. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. But we need to pray for people who are suicidal or who are dealing with depression and those things. We need to do a better job in the Christian community of reaching out to those people who are suffering in that area. So you can murder by hand. Secondly, God says, do you shall not murder. Second way, another way that you can murder is by the heart. Murder by the heart. Now, all of us probably hang out right here. You can murder by the heart. You can murder by the heart. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew 5 if you're not still there. Turn to Matthew 5. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV version, the English Standard Version, also a little bit of the New American Standard Version as I read the words of Jesus as it comes to murdering. You know, remember God says, do not murder. It's a sin. God says, do not murder. And like I said, many of us probably said the first one, I don't murder by hand. I haven't done that. So I'm clean on that one for some of us. But secondly, you can murder someone by your heart. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Then Jesus said, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And then Jesus goes on in verse 23 of Matthew 5. He said, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, in other words, you come to worship God, you come to worship Christ. He said, if you are there and you remember that your brother has something against you, he said, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So murder by the heart. This is so serious to God. God said, if you in here to church this morning trying to worship me, trying to praise you, but then you realize somebody got something against you, or you got somebody against someone else, Jesus said, God said, go and get that right first, then come back and worship me. So you can murder by the heart. So listen, beloved, if you're carrying around hatred, malice, anger, resentment in your heart toward another, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're a murderer. That's what Jesus says. 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. So have you murdered someone lately? Again, Jesus said, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So insulting, saying you fool, calling somebody names, that's murder by the tongue. And I get to that in just a minute. But this murdering by the heart, if you're at odds with someone, listen, I'm trying to make this very practical this morning. If you're at odds with someone, if you have anger or hatred in your heart towards someone, Jesus says, go to them and try to be reconciled. That's the solution. Jesus said, go to them and try to be reconciled. Now I know sometimes you go to people and you apologize and you try to work that thing out. Sometimes people won't receive it. They say, we just still at odds. But as far as it depends on you, do your part and go to that person and try to be reconciled. Go to that person and try to be reconciled. Matter of fact, once again, Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar. Go and get right with your brother or sister and then come back and worship him. Then come back and lift up holy hands to the Lord. You know, reconciliation is always the right thing to do. Let me repeat that. Reconciliation is always the right thing to do. Don't be talking about, well, he did me wrong or she did me wrong. I just hate her. I don't like her. Don't like him. Don't like their ways. Now, reconciliation is always the right thing to do. I mean, God himself set us the example. He loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect sin-free life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Why? Because we can be reconciled to a holy God. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us, you and me, the Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. So how can I go out and tell somebody how to be made right with God? And I got unconfessed sin and I've got hatred in my heart towards somebody else. God says, go and be reconciled. Reconciliation is near and dear to the heart of God. So beloved, don't murder people in your heart. Don't murder people in your thought life. There she go again. There he go again. I can't stand them. I don't like them. You murdering people in your heart. You murdering people in your thought life. And Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, God says, if you got hatred, you got anger in your heart towards somebody else, Jesus says, just as if you've committed mass murder. Jesus says, just as if you're on death row. It's not like God said, well, he killed somebody, so I'm going to put him over here, and he or she just said something. No, God says, Jesus said, if we have anger in our heart, hatred in our heart towards somebody else, the Bible says, 1 John, I just read it, you and I, we are a murderer. So we got to be careful what we're thinking. We got to be careful what we hide in our hearts. That's why the psalmist said, who can come before God? He said, only those who have a pure heart and holy hands. So, beloved, even this morning, if you came here this morning with some animosity towards someone, be it a family member, be it a friend, be it a church member, be it somebody on your job, Jesus says, the word of God says, you need to get that right. You need to go to them. They may not live in this city. You may have to call them, may have to text them, whatever. You need to contact them and try to get it right with them. Y'all with me? This morning, I know I'm going to get a little quiet on that part right there. Jesus said, we need to get it right with them. So do not commit murder, not with your hand, not with your heart, because a human life is valuable. Value human life. We are made in the image of Almighty God. Listen, you know, maybe somebody did you wrong. They really did you wrong. But listen, let God take the revenge. I said, let God take the revenge. Don't you try to take it. If you do, you're trying to play God. Romans 12, 18 and 19. Listen to what it says. You can write it down and read it later. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I'm going to pause right there. Now, just kind of a parenthetically, sometimes it's not even really possible to be at peace with some people. That's why the Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So make sure you're clean on that. You know, sometimes it's hard to be right with some people. It's just hard. Let's be honest. Keep it real. Sometimes it's hard. But still, do all that you can do to make that friendship or that relationship or whatever right. So as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Listen, never, somebody say never. Never take your own revenge. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Never take your own revenge. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And guess what? We need to be reconciled and reaching out. But watch this. Don't you take the vengeance. And guess what? God can get them much better than you can get them. I said, God, now you don't need necessarily praying. Get them, God. You know, they did me wrong. Get them. No, we need to be praying for them, but God can get them much better than we can get them. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Again, people, I'm not minimizing, probably all of us in here have been hurt by someone before. People have done us wrong and we, you know, initially the flesh want to take revenge. You know, you hit me, I want to hit you back. You do me wrong, I want to do you wrong. But no, let God take your revenge. Number one, we shouldn't do it because God said don't do it. Let me take care of revenge. Vengeance is mine, just said the Lord. God said do the opposite. Go and try to be reconciled. So we should do that anyway. But listen, even just medically and just naturally, if you walking around with all this vengeance, all this unforgiveness, all this anger in your heart towards somebody else, they probably going on minding their own business and you the one stressed out. You the one staying all up all at night plotting and say, how can I get them back? Let that stuff go. Say, God, help me to let it go. I've told you how this before, so I'll give you this short version. When I was working at TVA, Brother Chris, Chris and I used to work in the same group. We had the same manager, and it was really my time to get a promotion. And my manager said, Gerald, I'm going to give you a promotion. Matter of fact, I'm working on it right now. That's what she told me. I'm working on it right now. I said, okay, cool. But check or two or three later, you know, I really didn't care less about a promotion. I was just looking for the little raise, Brother Ryan, the up kick in the money, Brother Greg. And I never saw it. And then it was around the time they were doing some reorg, so they moved me from her group to another group. Long story short, they put off my promotion for about 6, 7, 8 months. And I hate to admit it, but during those 6, 7, 8 months, I was mad at that other manager. Now she gone on doing her thing. And God is so gracious. I was like, man, if I see her like in a break room or something, I'm going to give her, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. But God was so gracious. He didn't let me see her in that right situation. And finally, watch that true story. Finally, one day, about 7 or 8 months later, she got on the elevator and I was on the elevator. So she'd have got on the elevator 6 months earlier. I probably would just kind of, royally went off for a minute, but she got on the elevator and we spoke and then she got off and it hit me. I had no more anger, no more animosity. You know how sometimes you got that anger and you see a person that just rises up. It was like, I was just cool. I was calm. I was like, thank you, God, for taking it away. I wasted 6 or 7, 8 months just being stressed out over there. So let it go, beloved. If you got something against a person, Jesus said, go and try to reconcile. Go and try to get right. But if you can't get right, I mean, do all that you can do. But don't be holding on to that stuff. Y'all with me this morning? Let it go. Release it. Let it go. Vengeance belongs to God. That's his department. And he does it perfectly and right every time. When we try to do it, we not going to do it right half the time. So, beloved, this morning, when God says you shall not murder, you or I can murder by the hand. We also can murder by the heart, but also we can murder by the tongue. We can murder someone by the tongue. We can murder by the tongue. You know, Jesus mentioned by insulting people and calling people, you fool. Jesus says, don't do that. The things that you and I say, we can destroy someone's just by the stuff that we say. You can destroy someone's character, someone's reputation. We can kill their image in the community simply by the things that we say. Even parents, when we're raising our children, we can say stuff to them that would potentially damage them for the rest of their life. We've got to be careful what we say. You know, I don't know where that came from. This is a lie. This is a lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who came up with that mess. That's a lie. Words do hurt. Words do sting. I remember what a guy said to me. I was in the eighth grade. He and I were pretty good friends, and I still remember it. He said something to me that was pretty degrading. That's like 40 some years ago, and I still remember it, you know. That was 43 years ago. Let me go and get it right number. That was 43 years ago, and I still remember it vividly, Brother Cornelius. So words, they stick to you. Good words stick to you in a good way. Bad words stick to you in a bad way, Sister Hudson. But we got to be careful what we say. You can murder someone just by the words you say. Listen to what the Lord said. He has a plethora of verses in the scriptures about our tongues. So I'm just going to give you a few and run through them kind of quickly about how we need to guard what we say, because you and I can murder someone just by our words, with our tongue. Psalms 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. The psalmist says in 39:1, he said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. It's like the imagery is very clear. Sometimes you need to put a muzzle on your lips. We can murder by tongue. Once again, you murder someone's character. You need to be careful what you're saying about folks or to folks. You don't want to be guilty of murdering with your tongue. Psalms 50:19 says, let your mouth loose in evil and your tongue frames deceit. Our tongue, it can speak evil and deceit. Psalms 52:2 says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor. This tongue is a terrible thing. The tongue can be a murderer. Psalms 109:2 says, they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. So the psalmist is reminding us that the tongue can be deceitful. The tongue can be a murderer. Be careful, once again, what you say to people and what you say about people. Guard your tongue. Be careful with the words you use. Like Jesus said in this earlier, he said, don't be insulting your brother. Don't be calling people, you fool. And the Bible used fool, used in a very negative way. Matter of fact, the Bible said, the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 140:3 says, they sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. So it compares the tongue to like a snake, to a serpent. In Proverbs 6, God listed seven things that he hates. And one of those things was a lying tongue. God said, I hate a lying tongue. And we're going to get to that. I think it's next week. We're going to get that about thou shalt not lie. 2 weeks from now, thou shalt not lie. Proverbs 18:21. We often quote this one. Death and life, or life and death, are in the power of the tongue. Brother James, out of the book of James, he said that the tongue is a fire. James 3:8 says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It's been years ago, but I preached a sermon out of James about tame that tongue. We have to be careful what we say, saints. You can murder someone by just what you say. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep her tongue from evil and his lips from saying deceit. So if you want to have a good life, if you want to see good days, God says, keep your tongue from deceit. Keep your tongue from evil. So you can murder someone by your tongue. You can murder someone by what you say. Also, you can murder someone by your hand. Also, you can murder someone by the heart. Just those things you're thinking, those things that are inside you. Fourth one, I won't spend much time on this one. Murder by neglect. Murder by neglect. Murder by the hand, murder by the heart, murder by the tongue, and murder by neglect. Give you an example of that one. When Jesus told the parable about the Good Samaritan, if you remember, the guy was beat up and left on the side of the road, basically left there to die. And the two religious people, you know, the priest and the Levite, they came by and they didn't want to mess with him at all. One of them even went to the other side of the street. And so really they were guilty of murder by neglect. They just left him there to die. They were guilty of murder by neglect. And of course, a Samaritan came by and took care of him. So that's an example of murder by neglect. Another example, there are many examples of murder by neglect, but think about it. Think about the slum lord who treats his tenants just any kind of old way. And they got like mold in their apartment and all kind of stuff like that. And he doesn't even show any concern. Toilets messed up and all, you know, unclean living conditions. That's murder by neglect. So the Lord says, thou shalt not murder. Don't murder by hand. Don't murder in your heart. Don't murder by your, with your tongue. Don't murder by neglect. Because life is valuable. Value human life. You know, God is the one who produced life. God is the one who created life, right? I mean, man has been trying to create life for many, many years. You got scientists in their little laboratories trying to get some cells to work right and stuff. But no one ever will. No one has been able to create human life. It was God who said, once again, let us make man in our own image. So God and God alone is the author of physical life. So God and God alone, he's the one who should call, you know, who's going to lose their life or who's not. Not man, not me or you. God said, I created this thing called life. I'm the one who took some dirt and fashioned a man by the name of Adam and blew into Adam's nostril, and Adam became a living being. God is the one who caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and took a rib out of his side and fashioned a woman by the name of Eve. God is the one who created human life. So God says, you shall not murder. Because life, human life is valuable. So don't murder by hand. Don't murder in your heart. Don't murder with what you say. Don't murder by neglect. So that's physical life. God created physical life, but he also created eternal life. God and God alone is the author and finisher of our faith. God and God alone, he's the one who causes you or me to be regenerated. He's the one who regenerated the sinner. God and God alone, he's the one who caused a person to be born again. God and God alone, he's the one who pulled a person out of darkness and brought them into his marvelous light. God and God alone, he's the one who took a person off the highway to hell and put them on the highway to heaven. God and God alone, he's the one who took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. God and God alone, he's the one who quickened us and enabled us to be born again. God and God alone, he's the one who made the scales fall off our eyes. God and God alone, he's the giver of eternal life. Amen. That's a good place to clap. That's a good place to say amen. That's a good place to say hallelujah. He's the one who gives eternal life too. So we've been talking about physical life or physical death. I pray that you're not dead spiritually. But if you are dead spiritually, it was prayed earlier, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can receive eternal life. God has given you physical life. You are alive. You're breathing. But God can give you eternal life. He can cause you to be born again. Even today. It's God, once again, who saves. I know somebody said, well, you know, I confessed with my mouth and I repented. Yes, you did. If you're saved, yes, you did. But it was God who the one who even gave you the faith to repent. It was God was the one who drew you by his loving kindness. It's God who was the one who caused you to see your sinfulness and your need for him. So all the glory goes to God. We're saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. And so all the glory goes to God alone. Let me say that again. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so to God, to Jesus goes all the glory alone. We can't be saying, well, yeah, I got saved because, you know, I was so this or I was so that or God needed me. No. We got saved because God, being rich in mercy, came and got our dead self spiritually and brought us out of deadness and gave us life. So today we've talked about physical life, don't murder. But today my appeal, if you will, is to make sure you don't leave here alive physically, but dead spiritually. See, spiritual life, eternal life, is much more important than physical life. Because guess what? All of us, let me say this, unless the rapture happens, let me say this very clearly. All of us, the death angel is going to run all of us down one day. I've been trying to dodge him, but you can't get away from him. I hadn't watched it lately because it comes on too late. I hadn't watched it lately. But I used to like to watch, I'm kind of a sci-fi buff, and I used to like to watch Twilight Zone. Anybody ever watch The Twilight Zone? I kind of like those old shows. So there was a Twilight Zone. I'm talking about how you can't outrun death. And there was this lady, young lady. She was going across across the nation, across country, Vizo. And everywhere she went, like she'd go to Atlanta and she'd see this guy. She'd go on down to Florida somewhere and she'd see this guy. And she'd go on somewhere else. She'd say, what's going on? I keep seeing this guy. He just, you know, he's hitchhiking. I'm driving. How's he keeping up with me? And she just kept seeing this guy. And so finally, one time, she stopped at a gas station. She's still, you know, seeing this guy everywhere, right? And she gets ready to take off. And she looks in her rearview mirror, and the guy is sitting in her car. And so she really freaks out then. And so she said, who are you? Who are you? And she stopped and pulled over the car and jumped out and called her mom, called her mom. She said, Mama, everywhere I go, I've been seeing this guy. And her mom was like, who is this playing a prank? Who is on a prank phone call? My daughter got killed 2 years ago. So she's really messed up now. So she gets back in the car, and this guy's still in the car, and this guy told him, she said, who are you? Who are you? He said, I'm deaf, and I've been hunting you down, and I finally caught you. So that's a little funny story from Twilight Zone, but all I want to say this morning, though, death really has a appointment for all of us, physical death. That's why it's a little saying, we say it quite often. If you're born once, just born once, you end up dying twice, dying physically, then having eternal death. But if you're born twice, you know, physical birth and also born again, if you're born twice, you're only going to have to die once. And if the rapture happens, we won't even die once. But if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you just die once. It was D.L. Moody. It was D.L. Moody. Who started the school, Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and Moody Radio. But D.L. Moody, he was quoted as saying, he said, you'll read one day in the paper that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Because I will be more alive then than ever before. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. And Moody said, when y'all read that I'm dead, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than ever before. Paul said, this way, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, matter of fact, I'm betwixt and between. I don't know which way to go. I need to stay here because there's a lot to do, but I want to go home to be with my Lord and Savior. So as we think about do not commit murder, physical death, I want you to also think about spiritual death. Make sure you're not alive spiritually. You're alive physically, but make sure you're alive spiritually. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for the gift of physical life